Hello, and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Tian Yu. Coming up in this edition, the UN Security Council has approved its first ceasefire resolution for Gaza. Israel responded by cancelling a planned delegation's visit to Washington. Russian President Vladimir Putin says radical Islamists were behind the deadly concert hall attack near Moscow, but more questions remain. And the annual conference of the Boao Forum for Asia, the continent's major gathering on regional development, is underway in the southern Chinese province of Hainan. Let's start with the Israel-Palestine conflict. The United Nations Security Council has approved its first ceasefire resolution for Gaza. The resolution was drafted by non-permanent members of the Council. It calls for a ceasefire during the month of Ramadan, the unconditional release of Israeli hostages, and the urgent need for aid into Gaza. China's permanent representative to the UN, Zhang Jing, called for implementing the Security Council resolution, saying all harm against civilians must cease immediately. Jody Jacobs reports from the United Nations in New York.
It was the 10th time the UN Security Council voted on a resolution related to Gaza. Before the vote, there were last-minute negotiations inside the council chamber as top diplomats huddled in a circle. Finally, the resolution, which calls for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza through the end of Ramadan, was put to the vote. 14 members voted in favor. The US, breaking from its previous stance, abstained. China thanked the elected members of the council for their efforts in ensuring the resolution got passed, but says it comes too late.
If fully and effectively implemented, it could still bring long-awaited hope. Security Council resolutions are binding. We call on the parties concerned to fulfill their obligations under the United Nations Charter and to take due action as required by the resolution. We expect the states with significant influence to play a positive role for the parties concerned, including by using all necessary and effective means at their disposal to support the implementation of the resolution.
Despite abstaining from the vote, the United States says it is working around the clock to make the objectives of the resolution real on the ground through diplomacy. The resolution passed by the Council is legally binding according to international law, and its implementation, according to the UN Secretary General, must be upheld. Antonio Guterres says that the Council's failure to do so would be unforgivable. Meanwhile, the UN has voiced concerns following an announcement on Sunday by Israel that it will no longer approve the passage of UNRWA food convoys into northern Gaza. UNRWA's head has called the decision outrageous.
That was Jody Jacobs in New York. Israel has expressed fury over the latest UN resolution demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. It also appears to have been angered by the US abstention from the vote. The Jewish state is reported to have also cancelled a scheduled delegation's trip to Washington in protest. Sam Menek has more from Jerusalem.
This is the first time that the UN resolution is calling for a ceasefire, and notably the United States did not veto it. The past resolutions they have vetoed because they said that there was not a connection between a ceasefire and the release of hostages. Now, while this resolution does not directly connect the two, it does include both of them. But still, Israel on Monday was not happy about this, and it did cancel a high-level delegation that was supposed to go to the United States. Israel said that the United States had retreated from its principal position. The United States has pushed back on that. They have said that nothing has changed. But this comes amid increasing tensions between the two countries, particularly concerning Israel's handling of the war in Gaza, and specifically about its determination to launch this offensive into the southern city of Rafah, something which the United States has said that it was against. This delegation that was supposed to go to the United States was meant to discuss alternative approaches to rooting out Hamas inside of Rafah. The United States was going to propose that Israel launch targeted attacks rather than doing a ground invasion. I've spoken to analysts who have said that they don't think that what happened Monday is really going to shift the needle between relations between the two countries. But it is important to note that in addition to the United States providing Israel with weapons, they've also given them diplomatic cover. And this decision not to veto the bill could shift could indicate a shift that they're not providing this blanket support moving forward. Well, attacks have continued across Gaza on Monday in the Al-Shifa hospital as well as other hospitals on the strip, including in the southern cities of Khan Yunis. Israel says that Hamas is using these hospitals either as bases where they've regrouped or as shields in order to protect themselves. Israel said that they have killed hundreds of fighters and that they have arrested hundreds more, and they said that they're going to continue this until they have the last remaining person. Also on Monday, the Palestinian Ministry of Health, they said that at least 30 people were killed in airstrikes in the southern city of Rafah in the last 24 hours. Now, as these attacks continue, the humanitarian situation is becoming more and more catastrophic. Aid groups say that they are unable to get assistance to those who need it, and they're particularly unable to get assistance to people in the north. Also on Monday, a group of aid organizations who had been working in one of the hospitals, the European hospital in Gaza, they said that the situation was unimaginable, as they called it. They said that Israeli restrictions on aid, simple things such as bandages and other types of medicines, were not being brought in, that people were lying on the floor with gaping open wounds, and they were not able to help them.
That was Sam Manek in Jerusalem. Turning to Europe, Russian President Vladimir Putin says radical Islamists carried out the terrorist attack at the Crocus City Hall in suburban Moscow. But he also says a number of questions need to be answered, including why the terrorists tried to go to Ukraine afterwards and who was waiting for them there. Ukraine denies involvement in the attack. Meanwhile, Moscow has jailed three more men for the attack, which killed more than 130 people on Friday evening. Dasha Chernyshova reports from Moscow.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says the terrorist attack at the Crocus City Hall was conducted by radical Islamists. But in the wider context, the attack feeds into the Ukrainian attacks on Russia. Putin said on Monday that it can only be a link in the whole series of attacks by those who have been at war with Russia since 2014. He said that Washington wants now to persuade everyone that there is no Ukrainian trace, but Putin also doubted that the radical Islamist organizations are truly interested in hitting Russia. Putin also said that the attack was an act of intimidation to sow panic in the Russian society. The head of Russia's investigative committee, Alexander Bastrykin, said that all four suspects who have been directly involved into the shooting pledged guilty and testified extensively, giving out all the details of the attack and how it was perpetrated, including those who have ordered it. Three more men were arrested on Monday. They are said to have helped the shooters by providing a flat, a car, and by transferring money.
That was Dasha Chernyshova in Moscow. While the investigation of the terrorist attack continues, Russia and European countries are adding more security forces out of terror threats. Lyosa Milankovic has details.
Regarding investigation, we have just informed that more people were arrested in relation to this terrorist act. We learned that seven more people were detained. Some of them even voluntarily went to the police and handed themselves in. Most of them were actually the relatives of those four detained terrorists or four detained suspects. They were detained several days ago, very close to the town of Bryansk. So at this moment, we know 11 people were detained, and that the investigative team is working further into discovering or unraveling the details of what was behind this terrorist attack. Russian President Vladimir Putin yesterday spoke, addressed the nation. It was a 6.5-minute long address just before he met the leaders of the country who are actually in charge of dealing with the situation and with the aftermath of this horrible terrorist act. And in that 6.5-minute speech, in the beginning, he was saying that there are a lot of very strange things which need to be answered, need to be addressed. One of them, as he mentioned, was that it is very strange for devoted Muslims, which those four suspects claimed they were, that they committed this terrorist atrocity during the holy month of Ramadan, because now there is the holiest period of year for the Muslims, the holy month of Ramadan. And he also called for patience before the investigation actually gives more details into who actually was commissioning this terrorist atrocity. There are increased security presence in many, many venues around Russia. Many concerts being cancelled because of that, but not just in Russia. We learned that in France, the level of terrorist threat was also raised, because their officials were saying that ISIS, which claims that they did this terrorist attack in Russia, that ISIS actually did attack France as well before. We also learned that in Turkey, more suspects were arrested regarding the tip-off of the Russian special services, that the terrorist camp where these four suspects were actually trained, they trained in Istanbul. So yes, the level of terrorist threat is being raised in many countries in Europe.
That was Alyosha Milankovic reporting from Moscow. In China, as Asia's major conference on regional development, the Boao Forum for Asia is underway in Hainan. Topping the agenda are discussions on global security, the world economy, sci-tech innovation, and the impact of artificial intelligence. The forum's annual report underscores the robust momentum of Asian economic growth and regional integration amid global challenges. It expects Asia's economy to grow 4.5% this year, largely supported by strong consumption. But the report also warns of weak foreign demand, rising tensions in the Middle East, and especially the Red Sea crisis taking a toll on Asia's economic growth. Dai Kai-yi walks us through.
Despite external economic challenges, the Asian economy is expected to maintain a relatively high growth rate in the coming year. At the press meeting of Boao Forum for Asia Annual Conference 2024, Secretary General Li Baodong released the flagship report, which says the Asian economy's growth rate, aided by strong consumption and proactive fiscal policies, is expected to surpass that of 2023, reaching around 4.5%.
The theme of this year's annual conference is Asia and the World: Common Challenges, Shared Responsibilities. The challenges facing the world today are complex and varied. Only by jointly addressing these challenges, shouldering responsibilities together, strengthening cooperation, can the international community push the world onto the track of peace and prosperity.
The annual report says regional integration continues to move forward in Asia. Officials say the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP, has taken a step forward by supporting the development of intra-regional trade and investment, as well as closer links between industrial and supply chains. They think this addresses the negative impact brought by fragmentation of the world economy.
The global economy is gradually emerging from the shadow of the pandemic, and technological innovation is bringing new growth drivers. The forum hopes that through discussions at this year's annual meeting, the wisdom of all parties can be condensed, and the strengths of Asia and rest of the world can be combined to overcome difficulties and create a better future.
Nearly 2,000 representatives from over 60 countries and regions and more than 1,100 journalists from over 40 countries and regions attended this year's annual meeting.
The annual report says the overall economic performance continues to be promising against the backdrop of a tough external environment and internal challenges. Officials see progress in regional frameworks like RCEP and believes emerging technologies like artificial intelligence are unlocking new avenues for regional collaboration.
That was Dai Kai-yi on the annual report of the Boao Forum for Asia. Finally, in the Americas, U.S. aircraft manufacturer Boeing has announced a widespread corporate shakeup to try to restore its battered reputation. The Seattle-based company's chief executive and other leaders are stepping down over a string of safety issues. Owen Fairclough tells us how the shakeup might impact air travel.
How much will the departure of Boeing's chief executive help the besieged aircraft maker recover from its crisis? Dave Calhoun's announcement follows a string of safety and quality control issues, mostly involving Boeing's 737 MAX. Wall Street appeared to approve, Boeing's stock edging higher when trading began on Monday. But the company has lost around a quarter of its market value since January, when an Alaska Airlines 737-9 MAX door panel, missing four bolts, blew out midair. The 737 MAX's reputation had already been badly tarnished after two fatal crashes within months of each other in late 2018 and early 2019. And when regulators discovered a litany of safety and quality control lapses, they grounded 171 737-9 MAX aircraft worldwide. Last month, they gave Boeing 90 days to produce a quality control plan so it can resume full production. And the head of Irish budget carrier Ryanair says passengers will pay the price for that backlog in new aircraft deliveries to airlines.
If you have constrained supply, strong demand, I think it's inevitable that you're going to see airfares bump up again this summer. I think between 5 and 10%.
If shareholders are welcoming Boeing's decision to clean house with other top executives following Calhoun's lead, experts say one of America's most storied companies now needs to restore both its customers and passenger confidence.
That was Owen Fairclough reporting from Washington. Recapping today's headlines, the UN Security Council has approved its first ceasefire resolution for Gaza. Israel responded by canceling a planned delegation's visit to Washington. Russian President Vladimir Putin says radical Islamists were behind the deadly concert hall attack near Moscow, but more questions remain. And the annual conference of the Boao Forum for Asia, the continent's major gathering on regional development, is underway in the southern Chinese province of Hainan. And that's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports, and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Tian Yu. Thank you for listening.